biggest bad boy of podcasting is an entertainment-based wrestling program. The opinions shared are that of the host and their guest. Some celebrity voices are impersonated and usually not well. This program is not intended for kids and certain adults. Listener's discretion is advised. You have been warned. Now let's get ready to podcast.
All right, welcome to another edition of Vegas Bad Boys of Podcasting. I'm DJ Impact, and I got a few of the bad boys with me here, live on Skype, Sin City Steve. How are you doing? Uh-oh. You're muted.
Hey, jerk off, you forgot to press the unmute button. He's a mime now.
Right.
That's right.
Okay. Let me start over. Let's do it over. Let's start.
All right.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
No, you can't lose that. That was cool.
All right. Sin City Steve, man. How you doing?
I'm doing well. How you guys doing?
We're good. King Lucky, man. How you doing?
It's time to change the culture.
It's time to change.
I am doing well.
The culture. All right. And Matt Michaels.
You know, I think people should really follow the idea that it's just polite to swallow. Just don't spit.
Mm. All right. You guys have had very interesting weekend, I can see. Man, and I know that Simon Street is a little under the weather, so hopefully he gets better. We want to start off.
If he would have swallowed, he would have been fine.
I see what you're saying now. You know, we're going to have to keep that in mind, fellas, just to. Never mind. So let's start off with the live show. We have a live show that's going to happen this Tuesday, and that would be on the 19th. That's at Boulder Station Hotel and Casino. Our live guest will be Stephen Bonner, which is exciting. We're asking everyone to come out and see the show. 21 years and older, please. We're expecting this to be just as lively as all of our other shows. If you've never been to one, take the time to try to make it if you can. You know, it's very entertaining. It's not too many other places you can come out and get a chance to interact with a lot of the guests we have, take pictures, get autographs, and they're not trying to charge you for it. They're just hanging out, and thank you for coming out just to hang. So take advantage of it. We'll be there this Tuesday. Starts at around 6-ish. So just be there. The Kicks Lounge, when you get inside, you can ask someone how to get over there. But, you know, you'll start to hear a little bit of ruckus. You know, that's probably where we are located. So don't forget, that is this Tuesday, Boulder Station Hotel and Casino will be there. We're going to start off with our three count topics tonight. And our first one comes from my favorite, Forbes.com. And the article titled, 5 Major Problems WWE Must Fix ASAP. And the question I'm going to ask all three of you here is, which one of these 5 you would agree with the most? Now, I'm just going to read them off. We got a chance to read the explanations as to these 5 problems. But I'm just going to read the problems off, and then I'm just going to ask you what you think, and let me know what you think. So, it seems like the author here says, the number one reason, miscast superstars. Again, this is one of the five major problems WWE must fix ASAP. Miscast superstars. Number two, its general lack of direction. Number three, the booking of Seth Rollins. Number four, no must-see heels. And number five, a lack of true mainstream stars. King Lucky, I'm going to start with you. Which one of those five major problems that you would agree with from the author of Forbes.com that WWE must fix ASAP? Which one of those and why?
Well, I think the first one and the last one tie in because miscasting of the superstars also ties into a lack of true mainstream stars. But I don't know that I completely agree because I think now they are starting to get a little bit better with character development now that things are settling down and you have the rosters shaken out. You know, right now we are in the midst of the lead up to Survivor Series. Mm-hmm. So I think, you know, that's where a lot of our focus is. And I think, you know, even though TV isn't leaps and bounds better than where it has been, mm-hmm. it is getting better. And I think that when you look at characters that are becoming larger than life, you know, the Bray Wyatt, the Fiend character stands out at you as one of those that I think is a major stepping stone in the right direction. Because for a long time, even though every fan bought into him, now it seems like the office is putting the money behind the muscle.
Mm-hmm. And you also believe that it's a lack of true mainstream stars as well?
Yeah, I think when you look at it, I mean, but you compare it, if you compare it to another generation, right? It's kind of unfair to compare it because the guys that you have on the roster right now aren't huge stars, but I think WWE and, you know, the different ways that they're bringing content to you allow you to know the stars, but they weren't larger than life, like, let's say, a Stone Cold or a The Rock or, you know, mm-hmm. those kind of characters. So, you know, and also factions were big back then as well, too. You know, and if you look at like the 80s and the early 90s, you had so many different characters like Jake the Snake and Million Dollar Man and those kind of characters. But nowadays, you definitely need to spend more time in developing characters. And I think that they're headed in that direction. So we'll see.
Sin City Steve, and your mic is showing to be muted. But let me ask you, though.
Yep.
Five major problems. I know you are a little bit more critical of WWE, so I know you probably, as you see these five, you may agree all five of them need to be fixed. But which one would you see is a must now? And again, that's miscast superstars. Two, its general lack of direction. Three, the booking of Seth Rollins. Four, no must-see heels. And five, a lack of true mainstream stars.
Well, so first things first, I had to make sure that my mic was on mute so that I didn't jump on top of what Lucky was saying because my God, dude, like, seriously? Okay.
Yeah.
So here's...
I'm a corporate shield. What can you say?
What?
I'm a corporate shield. What can you say?
Well, at least you fucking admit it. Anyway, let's start at the top, man. At least on the active roster that we see on TV. Seth Rollins, I think that it's been said for a while now, who is Seth Rollins?
Mm-hmm.
The guy doesn't really have any kind of career defining thing mm-hmm. to him. He's just him. So ultimately, when he was a heel, he was definitely more over than what he is now. And it it comes down to he would best be suited playing a heel character.
Mm-hmm.
Just because the way that he comes across on TV, I am a Seth Rollins fan as far as his in-ring work. I'm not a fan of his character.
Mm-hmm.
So
yeah,
there's definitely a difference there. But at the end of the day, he is not a good babyface. And I get why they are painting him that way,
mm-hmm.
but I really wish that they would allow for some more shades of gray since they want to go that route. He truly does feel like an afterthought when he is standing next to Becky Lynch, for instance. he's playing second fiddle. He's not her equal.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, chalk that up to the fact that his, you know, his wife or fiance is more over than what he is.
Mm-hmm.
Or, you know, you can chalk that up to any other issues with his character. But that's where it needs to start. As far as the general lack of direction, you can't rewrite shows the day of the show and expect for it to have any common sense in the fucking script. The show, it has gotten better.
Mm-hmm.
Because obviously there was a time period earlier this year, several months ago, where the show was being rewritten 90 minutes before airtime.
Yeah.
What?
Right.
So it's good to see that things are starting to settle down with that. So I think that is something that they're working on, but they just need to stay the path with that.
Yeah.
As far as a lack of true mainstream stars, I don't want mainstream stars in my wrestling.
Mm, mm-hmm.
That's just me, though. Hey, that's just me, Matt. I know. I hear you grumbling over there. But the fact is, I don't give a shit about Tyson Fury. Mm-hmm. I don't give a shit about anybody that they're touting as being an outsider coming in that's not on the actual roster.
That Cain doesn't Velasquez make, that's not, is that's, a you're bit missing of a it.
Different. Excuse
you're
me?
Missing it, Steve. No, they mean mainstream in terms of there's no mainstream stars in terms of what Hulk Hogan was in mm-hmm. pop culture or
John Cena or
mm-hmm. Cena well, or Rock
so,
or Austin.
So that honestly ties back in with the miscasting of superstars. Because mm-hmm. if you are really playing to the strengths of your roster, then the talent will shine itself through. But at the end of the day, I see all five of these
mm-hmm.
going back to the same root cause. They're not shining a light on the positives and hiding negatives. They're shining a light on whatever the fuck they want, which obviously I get it. They've got the book, you mm-hmm. know, whatever. The 25-person writing staff is mapping out the show, and they know so much better than any of the viewers. But I will just point out that you're losing viewers every single week.
Mm.
So whatever you're doing isn't working. So I don't know. I really think that there needs to be some change with the overall creative direction in WWE. And to be honest, that's why I've tuned out from a lot of the programming.
Yeah. Matt Michaels, I guess the only item someone hasn't chosen yet is no must-see heels. So I don't know if you're going to agree with that one. But what would you say out of the five major problems that the Arthur pointed out here is one that must be fixed ASAP?
I don't think there's any of those that need to be fixed ASAP.
Okay.
I think ASAP is, you know, this is a... It's like, why? What, you know... The thing is, it's a product. It's something that, you know, is produced. It's written. It's put out there. If you're like Steve and you don't necessarily enjoy what is being put out there, then you don't watch.
Mm-hmm.
And then you come back when you feel that it's, you know, something that you want to follow a little mm-hmm. closer. You know, the fact of the matter is that you can't, it's not like you, like Stone Cold Steve Austin, he was something that was inside of him that made that character, you know, same with Hogan, same with, you know, all these people who made it into the mainstream. So
mm-hmm.
the fact of the matter is that when you're trying to build a mainstream star, when you're trying to do something like that, that's what they're doing with, you know, trying to get Rollins, trying to get Roman for so long. That's what they're trying to do, is force a mainstream star, and it doesn't work.
Mm-hmm.
Because people in this day and age get pissed off when something's getting pushed down their throats.
Right.
And the other thing, too, is, look, you had a guy like Hunter. Hunter, for years, was getting that push and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But he never broke into a mainstream star status. You know?
Mm-hmm.
So you can try to make those mainstream stars. But what makes a mainstream star is just the general public. You know? They latch onto what they like or who they like.
Yeah.
So, you know, I just think that that's irrelevant in terms of there's no mainstream stars. Well, you know what? There's no mainstream stars in any of the other companies right now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So is that hurting, you know, I mean, is that just hurting wrestling in general? Or I think that this writer probably did this article because he had to print an article.
Yeah.
And that's just, you know, that's just my feelings on it.
You know, my
feelings are.
Yeah.
No, it's just, you know, if, you know, you know, eventually, if you watch this stuff, you're going to find something you like. And it might take time. It might take years.
Right. My goal for 2020 is to actually try to reach out to some of the writers who write these, so we can have them on and get where their ideas of coming with some of these topics, and we can't tell them they're wrong, but just see where they're coming from and maybe challenge how they are viewing
things.
So wait,
we're getting WWE writers on this show?
Not WWE writers, but writers of maybe Forbes.com or Bleacher Report or, you know, some of these.
Oh.
Gotcha.
Okay.
Yeah. I don't think we're going to score any of those, but okay. Well, there we go. That's from Forbes.com. Let's go to our second story. And Sin City, I'm going to let you end up starting with this one here. It comes from WhatCulture.com, and the article was titled, 8 Problems Nobody Wants to Admit About AEW. So I'm just going to just run those 8 down right quick. And again, you can always just go to the to Google and put in that website and that title, and you can find the article and just read how they break down each one of these problems. But let's just go down,
and you can enjoy the pop up ads as much as we do.
That is true. Okay, so 8 problems nobody wants to admit about AEW. Here we go. And this was actually counted down. So number 8, the Dark Order shtick. Number 7, the production is still plagued by audio issues. Number 6, the women's division has been an afterthought. Number 5, dives bombs. Number 4, the in-ring action has too much cooperation. Number 3, Excalibur story. Number 2, certain fans are a turnoff. And number 1, it's nearly impossible to be a heel. Sin City, Steve, these are what the article says, the 8 problems nobody wants to admit about AEW. Which one of these of the eight would you agree with the most?
Actually, I would have to say that, and call it what you will, but one of the biggest things is that the women's division in AEW has been, I'd say, worse than an afterthought. Mm. It's one of those things where, you know, when AEW was founded and leading up to the first show, there was a lot of emphasis being put onto that women's division.
Mm-hmm.
And they haven't exactly had really that many great wrestling matches.
Yeah.
You know, those things that they actually do to further storylines,
right?
You know, and build in content for these shows. They're not entertaining. The matches are not entertaining. I am truly worried that one of these days, B. Priestley is going to drop some girl on her neck and kill her. Similar to what she did with Mayu Iwatani almost when she was over in Japan.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that that's a huge misstep for AEW. But again, you have to look at it. Most of the people on this roster are not working indies. They're working the AEW TV show and maybe one other booking. But they're not out there running matches every single week, other than on TV, if they even get on TV.
Mm-hmm.
So it's one of those things where if you take somebody that has, you know, less than 100 matches, then obviously the work rate isn't going to be amazing, and you know, you'll be able to tell that as a viewer.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that those kind of go hand in hand. As far as dives, I will agree with that too.
Mm-hmm.
Let's be real. I mean, there's no degree of spectacle with half the stuff that these guys are doing anymore. Just because there are 10 dives a match, every match on the show.
Yeah.
Anybody who's listened to this show knows that I'm not one to be like, you know, anti-dive or anti-high spot or anti AEW style, which it appears that this is going to be the AEW style.
Mm-hmm.
But at the end of the day, you know, could you maybe have fewer dives across the show, thus the each dive actually means more? So I think that just making your special moments even more special will allow those moments to be even more special.
Right.
So I think that those are going to be the biggest things. I mean, certain things on this list, you know, certain fans being a turnoff, Excalibur's story, you know, why he wears a mask. I mean, come on. So kind of grasping at straws at a couple of those, but the title of the article was 8 problems nobody wants to admit. I will definitely admit to, I'd say, half that list.
Mm-hmm.
So
yeah,
I don't know what to tell you. What culture?
King Lucky, I'm about to come to you. I'm going to read the list one more time, and then I'll tell you what my thought is on one of them. But the 8 problems that were listed was the Dark Order's stick. The production is still plagued by audio issues. The women's division has been an afterthought. Dives bomb. The in-ring action has too much cooperation. Excalibur story. Certain fans are a turnoff, and it's nearly impossible to be a heel. And, you know, I actually just watched AEW this past, and we could talk a little bit about the shows a little bit later on. But I have to agree, out of all of this, the in-ring action has too much cooperation. That, to me, is so obvious. That's the one thing that kind of bothered me when watching the show. Whenever there's a move to take place, the other person is literally getting into position so he could just take the move. Like, the reality of it is, if you're about to be jumped on or stepped on or kicked. You want to try to move away from that. You don't want to pretend like you're ready for that to happen. It's supposed to be unexpected, and it's just too much cooperation that seems like it happens in a lot of the show. I don't know if that's just me or what, but it's like everyone is just prepared for that next move. That is just, it really does look more like it's theater than it really looks like a match. So I don't know. That's just kind of me. With King Lucky, what's your take out of the this article? The eight problems nobody wants to admit about, but which one of these eight would you agree with the most?
Definitely one of them has to be the women's division being an afterthought. I don't know that it's an afterthought. I just think that there's not... You're still early on in TV, and I think that they're throwing a bunch of matches together with the women that are, you know, maybe not the most appealing matches, I'll be honest with you. I mean, I do think they have a good amount of, a decent amount of talent, nowhere where it needs to be just yet, but I think that they're throwing a lot of matches together. Once you can finally get sunk into creating storylines and things like that with the women, I think, you know, kind of like what they've got with Brandy and Kong, I think as you continue to further down that road, then you'll start to get more of a payoff.
How about just the idea, you guys, that starting off having Riho as your champion, beating Nyla, and now I have yet to find her to show a champion qualities of her even having the belt. I mean, you started it off wrong.
Yes.
You know, let's just call it what it is.
Mm-hmm. But let me ask you this. Who do you think they could have made as the face of the women's division be the champion?
What about the doctor?
Baker.
Yeah. The doctor.
I agree.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
The doctor, without
a breath. Without a breath, it's so easy. It's like Britt Baker.
Yeah.
Agreed.
Yep.
Now, let me ask you this. Would you have started her off with a long-term feud or just have kind of these matches that they've been having kind of with, you know, like Rio's been going against the different people? Would you have her in a long-term feud with someone?
No.
No.
No, so you'd have her- I think do the same thing. You just... Britt's got more charisma,
got
personality.
More personality. And, mm-hmm. I agree.
And I don't know, Steve, does Rio speak English?
I genuinely don't know. I don't think so.
Yeah, so I mean, it's just a bad call to do now.
Mm-hmm. Right, exactly.
Right. You know, maybe 6 months down the road it would have been a good call, but I don't know. It just doesn't work.
King Lucky, what else?
I think that, I don't know if it's if it's nearly impossible to be a heel. They've got, you know, a good amount of heels right now. I think the one thing that kind of turned me off a little bit is the fact that you had MGF that started out as this really badass heel, and then all of a sudden he's Cody's best friend, and, you know, he's playing a good guy to some degree, and then you flip him heel again, you know, which to me is kind of some inconsistencies with the story. But now that he is a heel, you saw this week, and we won't talk about it just yet, but, you know, he definitely rose to another level and has that ultimate heel status after the promo that was cut. So I don't know that I have too much of a problem with getting Excalibur story. He's not a character on the show, so there's no need for the depth of, you know, hey, you know, this is Excalibur. I mean, would it be nice? I mean, sure, you could have that do something else.
Yeah, but you missed what the story said, and that is that they don't think that Excalibur should have a story. He should lose the mask, because when you're just flipping through stations and people go, well, why does he have a mask on?
Right.
Yeah. Well, I mean, that was one of my things from the beginning. I think that he shouldn't have a mask. He should be, you know, unmasked and have his face Why? Shown on his. Because I think if you're just tuning in for the first time, you want to get to know these characters. I mean, you know Jim Ross from, you know, WWE. You know Tony Schiavone from, you know, WCW. But you don't know who Excalibur is.
Well, that makes I don't think that's the point at all.
No.
I think, you know, the mask is who Excalibur is. And personally, what the fuck doesn't matter? I mean, I'm not tuning in to see what Jim Ross looks like.
Exactly. No, seriously, though. Like, that was always the argument with JR is, you know, that was why Vince wanted to take him off TV toward the end of his WWE run, is because Vince was concerned with how he looked on television. But to the fan out there, we don't give a shit what Jim Ross looks like. All that we care is that he calls the matches right. Now, with his time in AEW, that's not exactly been the case. But regardless, Excalibur's gimmick is a mask. Just in the same way that JR's was the 12-gallon hat. Just how Jerry Lawler's was the crown. You know, it's if nothing else, it's a character-building item for him to be able to flesh out a character.
I think the the other thing that, you know, they mentioned in the article was the Dark Order, which I kind of have, you know, my thoughts on the way they're booking them, and, you know, just some of the stuff that they do with their entrance is not come across to me as what they're trying to portray.
Oh, it's because they've never. The problem is that Dynamite doesn't use television time to give us much of a story in terms of like video packages and stuff. That's a team that would have absolutely benefited from some weird dark dungeon, you know.
Yeah. Agreed.
Yeah,
without a doubt.
Yeah,
without question. And that's kind of what I've been saying in terms of the way they're booking the shows. You've got, you know, a whole lot of action, which is great, but you don't have a lot of storytelling and character development. Like you said, there could be a vignette, and you only need like a 15-second vignette with them in a dark, in a dark room with some different lighting and stuff like that. Really selling their gimmick, and so you're not bought in, and you're just kind of like,
and not even selling, but also explaining what their gimmick is.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah,
you know, actually, like I said during the rant about WWE, and you know, who is Seth Rollins? Who are the Dark Order? Well, why were they on TV working for AEW?
I have more of an idea of who Seth Rollins is, and that, in comparison, you know, think about that. So, when we talk about the WWE, we're talking about, like, identifying the character of Seth Rollins, but he's already got an identified character. So, we have the luxury of like, analyzing it more, like, yeah, it'd be great if they give us more of this or more of that. Whereas with these guys, it literally is, what is their character? What is their story? Because you've got two guys who aren't, like, matching, right? And tag teams usually kind of match.
Yeah.
And then they're also surrounded by gimps. Like, why is the S&M shit going on? And all they do, all those guys do, are like wiggle and swarm and
move around. Yeah,
right.
I almost feel like, I'll be honest with you, I almost feel like they would be better suited having somebody that is their leader. Because you don't kind of...
Yeah, Marcellus... It's Marcellus Wally from Pulp Fiction.
you don't have a leader right now of that group. So you could, there's another way that you could build a star by having somebody be the leader of that group.
Mm-hmm.
Somebody that does not look like a bitch.
Oh, without question. Yeah, that person has to be dark. I'll tell you what, if they ever get an opportunity to
turn... No, they can't sign The Undertaker. They can't sign The Undertaker.
You know what? Two names to me that would be good to lead the Dark Order would be Darby Allin and... When you turn him, Luchasaurus.
Because
both of those characters, you could get some real traction out of.
I could see Darby, Luchasaurus. They would need to flesh out some storyline.
Could you see them skateboarding with Darby down to the ring?
Jesus Christ!
No. You moved totally away from that.
And by the way, y'all suck for not getting my callback on Marcellus Wallace from Pulp Fiction. Matt brought him up, and I called that out, but nothing.
True that.
It was a good bitch line, all right? It was a good Marcellus line.
Matt Michael, let's go to you. What are the 8 problems nobody wants to admit about AEW out of the 8? Would you agree with the most?
Well, first I want to say, again, I think he had to find a number of words to put in there. So he chose 8, which is weird. The third one was audio issues, or second one was audio issues.
Right,
it's like, oh, because when they go backstage, it sounds quieter than when it's like in the arena. Holy shit. Okay, so just throw that crap out.
Right.
Like, yeah. Oh, they got technical problems. Okay, big fucking deal. Hey, you got a remote. Turn up your fucking volume, you lazy-ass journalist. Quote-unquote journalist.
Right.
You know, the interesting one to me that doesn't necessarily, I don't want to say... that I agree with them, but it brought up a very good point because both articles basically kind of allure to this, and that is the heel issue.
Mm-hmm.
And the point they were making was you had a guy like MJF, and when he came out on Dynamite after turning on the pay-per-view,
mm-hmm.
he got massive boos, which is what you're supposed to get.
Right.
And then, throughout the promo, the fans just, they like him. He's a likable character. Same with Jericho is the other point they make. You know, Jericho, people like him. He's funny.
Mm-hmm.
And all of a sudden, it goes from a heat interview into this... now interview that is basically fans making them baby faces.
Right.
Now, in the WWE article, the whole point they were making is that the WWE doesn't have any top heels because when they're heels... the fans basically turn them face.
Mm-hmm.
Or they get mismanaged at that point because of the fact that there's these reactions that are making them like faces. And then they either go with it and make them face or try to portray them against the face image, or you know, the fans cheering and stuff like that. And you're basically just ignoring what the fans are putting out there. Well, in general, the fact of the matter is, there's no top heels anymore because heels are fucking cool. Mm-hmm. And you don't have the same, you know, the reason that Stone Cold, the reason that The Rock, these guys went from heels to faces is because they were fucking cool. DX was the same way, you know? Mm-hmm. This is something that trends to go that, you know, that way. Cena, it was the same thing. As soon as that gimmick got hot, he became a face. You know, and that pretty much happens with everyone. Heels become faces. And the fact of the matter is that nowadays you don't have the stereotypical heel. And I think that's something that kind of gets missed. You know, these guys are cool bad guys. They're not chicken shit fucking, you know, people you just want to fucking strangle.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like Lucky.
Yeah. Well, I would tell you.
Easy, big fella.
Yeah, I would agree with that. I mean, for the exception of like Corbin. I mean, Corbin seemed that he can't get anyone to like him, so he plays the heel role.
But that's it.
Yeah.
Because Corbin is your prototypical, you know, I mean, he's perfect at that heel role because people just can't stand him.
Yeah.
He's like nails on a chalkboard. And it works. And then that's what you play up because he's a, you know, he's just a fucking person you just like, I hate him type of feeling, right?
Right.
But you look at like MJF is a great example because you should fucking hate him. His character is all about hating, but he's a charismatic dude who comes off very well, and therefore you like this guy. Corbin comes off like a fucking douche nozzle.
Yeah, that is true. Well, that was our second one from whatculture.com. You guys can read it and check it out for yourself. For our third and final count tonight, we had pretty much two articles. One that came from sports, .yahoo.com, and one that was from dazn.com. And so there's two things here. And this is all about Tyson Fury. Now, first off, UFC heavyweight champion Stipe Miocic said that he'd rather fight Tyson Fury in a boxing match, which Tyson Fury heard and said, well, after I get rid of, Deontay Wilder, then I'll fight Stipe in a boxing match if he wants. So, he also said that he would compare this crossover match with Mayweather and Conor back in 2017. But, you know, he does warn Stipe that he, you know, would get smashed the same way that, Mayweather handled Conor, you know, and being that Stipe is now entering the boxing ring. But that's the first. The second you have here that Tyson has made reference and wanting to fight in UFC, possible next year, and even rumors of him wanting to train with Conor McGregor. And UFC's president Dana White thinks it doesn't make sense for him to compete in UFC and he gets matched, especially considering that he's good in his world, which his world is boxing. And of course, Tyson Fury responded back to Dana that, well, I actually would want to smash Dana for making such a comment like that. But here's the question. I mean, does Dana somewhat have a point here? I mean, is he doing too much, you know, right now? I mean, he's boxing, he's wrestling. Now he wants to do UFC. I mean, at some point, someone will have his number. Is it worth it? King Lucky, I'm going to start with you because I know you watch a lot more UFC than a lot of us. Is Tyson, I mean, is he just really on top of his game right now? Or, you know, maybe he needs to just chill and continue to try to be the greatest at what he does now, which is boxing.
I'll tell you what, he should stay as far away as he can from a UFC octagon. Mm. His last fight that he had in a boxing ring was close to being stopped. And so I think he needs to focus on beating Deontay Wilder. It's preposterous, and we've seen throughout history boxers that cross over to the MMA world and just get owned because you are training one discipline in boxing. In MMA, and over the last 10 years, these guys have trained multiple disciplines, boxing, wrestling, grappling. I mean, it's jiu-jitsu. It's something that you cannot pick up, you know, in 6 months or a year of training. I think he needs to stick to doing WWE stuff, which didn't look that great to begin with. I mean, it was a lot. He's a lifelong fan, so I don't want to knock him.
Yeah.
But yeah, he should definitely stick to doing boxing and maybe a few WWE appearances if they can get away with him and Braun Strowman tagging together, which I don't know how good that's going to look, but
yeah,
I don't think that he needs to stick his nose anywhere near MMA. And conversely, if you have Stipe Miocic, who's a very good boxer, we've seen this too, where, you know, MMA, and he's a Golden Gloves boxer, so that's one of the most prestigious accomplishments that you can get. But even still, I mean, I think it's great for a one-off, but in reality, these guys are boxing for 12 rounds, where an MMA fighter is, you know, at best, doing this for 5 rounds at 25 minutes. So, you know, would I pay to see Stipe Miocic versus, Tyson Fury? Maybe not. I'd be interested in watching it, but I don't know that I would buy it, only because Conor had the name, whereas Stipe doesn't have the name. So you'd have a hard time selling tickets and selling out a venue.
Sin City Steve, does this sound like comparison to have Tyson and Stipe compared to Mayweather and Conor? Does that seem like that's about on the same level of
far from it?
Yeah,
yeah. I mean, you have to have star power.
Yeah,
first off. And so the thing is, people outside of the boxing realm knew and know who Mayweather is.
Right.
People outside of the UFC world knew who Conor McGregor was.
Right.
Whereas if you look at, you know, Stipe, again, people familiar with UFC know him. He's a badass.
Mm-hmm.
But people who aren't familiar with, you know, with the UFC, they don't know him.
Mm-hmm.
Exactly in the same way that Tyson Fury. If you didn't know, if you didn't follow boxing, you wouldn't know who the guy was.
Right.
And that's it's preposterous to put that on the same level as you know, Mayweather McGregor. That's stupid. So yeah, I whatever. I mean, if some idiot motherfuckers out there will buy this pay-per-view and spend hundreds of dollars on the shit, which that's what it's really designed to do, is to draw money.
Let me ask you though, and I'll stick to you, Steve, on this. I mean, should we continue this having the boxing world come into the wrestling world, and the UFC world go into the boxing world? And, you know, does this crossover, is this something that we should just continue to look forward to, or should this not be something that, I mean, you have a one-off here and there, but let this not become a new trend going forward, because it doesn't seem like something that would work. Would you agree with that or disagree with that?
Well, I mean, it's gone on for years in the pro wrestling world.
Mm-hmm.
So that's something that we should all be familiar with, obviously.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, we're used to it, those of us that follow professional wrestling.
Yeah.
But at the end of the day, my personal preference would not be to have Tyson Fury step into an octagon. It would not be for Stipe to leave an octagon and to go into a boxing ring.
Right.
I cringe at most of these crossover type matches just because very seldom are they any quality whatsoever.
Right.
So that's just it's bullshit. Matt, but it's a cash grab.
Yeah, right.
It's a cash grab. And whether we want it to be here or not, it is something that is here. So might as well just pluck down your $99.99 and see your Stipe and Tyson Fury boxing match or UFC fight or whatever the fuck they're going to do. Best of seven series, Bloodsport to the death, whatever the fuck.
Yeah. And Matt Michaels, I mean, is the fact that Tyson, if he gets this training with Conor McGregor, I mean, is that enough that once we find out that he got this training and now he's ready for this, his octagon fight, enough to go, oh, you know what? I want to tune in now, because if he was trained by McGregor, I'm sure he's ready to take on whoever he fights. What would you say on that?
So, I don't know. I think Mike Tyson's got a chance in anything he does. He's a badass, so.
Okay. Mike Tyson is a badass, yes.
You know, so, and, you know, if he wants to go and take on Speedy Gonzalez there, okay, for the championship, you know, uh-huh, that's cool. But he could also still just box Van Wilder. It's all good.
Okay. All right. Not too much more on the topic for you?
But, you know, it's like, who fucking cares? If he wants to do a fucking UFC fight, let him fight.
Yeah.
I don't care. It's like, hey, more power to him. Listen, I mean, unless one of us is getting into the octagon, if the guy is healthy and wants to go in the octagon, more power to him.
Yeah, but Dana, you know? But Dana did say, hey, he's going to get smashed if he gets in there.
Yeah, and that's what you pay for. Like, and no one's paying to, like, you know, see, like, oh, that,
yeah,
was,
but
nice.
Tyson doesn't think he doesn't think he's getting knocked down and get smashed. He thinks he's getting in there to actually win.
Yeah, and he should. Is he gonna go in there and think, oh, you know what, I'm good with the 40 you know, $40 million I got for this fight, right? So, you know, just beat me up. I mean, that's it.
Yeah,
both sides want to win. That's what I mean. Dana White's a promotion guy that's fucking hyping the fight, you know. Hey, our guy's gonna kill him. Well, there you go. Even the guy who runs the thing thinks you're gonna get fucking killed.
Mm-hmm.
And he's going to sign you to go ahead and get yourself killed. You know? So, yeah, of course, Steve's right. It's a cash grab.
Right.
And anyone who wants to pay to see it can see it. And anyone who wants to participate and do things like that, do it. Who cares? I mean, it's fun. Like, what the fuck? Crossovers, you know? It happens all the time. Mm-hmm. Why not have, you know? If it's a skilled person, let them fucking try something else.
Yeah.
You know, look, Michael Jordan sucked at baseball on a pro level. That was minor league level. You know, mm-hmm. But he went and he fucking tried it because he is Michael Jordan. He fucking could, you know?
Yeah.
So if Nick Fury wants to step into the octagon, more power to him.
Okay, all right.
Nick Fury versus Speedy Gonzalez, huh?
I think it's Speedy.
Oh, shit.
Is that how you say it?
Oh, my God.
Oh, man. Well, yeah, all right. Well, there you have it, man. That's our three count for tonight. And good stuff, fellas. Let's just talk a little bit about a little bit of wrestling on what we saw this week. I will say I thought all the wrestling programming this week was pretty good. Steve, that even goes for WWE. I was even entertained by that. You know what I was really impressed with? I'll just say this, and then I'll throw it over to you, King Lucky, because we haven't heard you in a minute. So I'm pretty sure no one really, I guess, I'm pretty entertained by the Lana storyline. But she was in the ring pretty much holding her own for 5 minutes in Manchester, despite the fact of them chanting boring and booing and just want her out. I was pretty impressed on how she held her own. And to the point of, you know, of course, Rusev eventually came out maybe 3 or 4 minutes later. She still held her own. I mean, I got to give her props just on that because, you know, most people in that situation who you don't necessarily see a lot on the mic could easily get thrown off by those chants and the audience. And I got to give her props just on that. You know, that was definitely memorable when I was watching that show going, man, Lana's doing her thing there. But King Lucky, all of the wrestling we saw, man, what's your take on the shows this week?
I'll start with Raw first, and I disagree with you. I hate the storyline. I think it doesn't have a payoff yet at some point. It's just, to me, it's going nowhere fast.
Well, I'll tell you this. Most people, I actually was, as I was looking for stories to talk about, I actually ran into one where the author of the story was saying how much he also hated it. And I think most people hate the storyline. But what I found most interesting was that Bobby Lashley was saying that he's been actually getting death threats.
Death threats.
You know?
Yeah.
Yeah. And, you know, so much hate from it, which is unfortunate. But, you know, I mean, I don't know. I mean, it's a... I don't find the storyline that horrible. I mean, it's, they're doing what they can to entertain, and I do find myself in many ways being entertained on that. But I'm sorry, man. Just you know, continue.
I will say that out of this whole storyline, the one thing that that has caught my attention, if they let Bobby Lashley be something that he is, you know, in real life, and I think this is closer to his real personality, I can buy in on this character, whereas everything else that I've seen from him is just kind of, it's passable. It's like, you know, I'm okay, you know, if I miss it. But to me, you know, this cocky, arrogant guy, to me, seems like it's better suited for him. And so, if nothing else, I think out of this whole story, it to me built more character for him. But also, moving on, you know, one of the things that you saw on Raw that I really enjoyed was Walter versus, you know, Seth Rollins.
Right, yeah.
Which Walter and Imperium are definitely going to be, when you look at character development, those guys are going to go far.
Because they're traditional heels. They're traditional heels.
And they're despicable. Cool. They're despicable.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of like what you were talking about earlier, Michaels, where they're despicable. So I think, you know, that's really going to pay off for them long term. The other thing that was interesting to me was how many times they said sex on the show, which is just crazy. You know, I get that you may try to walk the line and you want to be a little edgy and just this whole thing about our anniversary of having sex and I'm pregnant and all this stuff. It's just, it's laughable, but somebody backstage is getting a kick out of it, you know? And so.
And you fucking know who.
Yeah. Definitely. So, I mean, I thought Raw overall was a decent show. You know, they closed it out with that huge 6-man tag match, which you could tell they're really trying to bring a couple guys along with Ricochet and Berto. But I thought Raw overall was entertaining, and it kept in with the theme of, you know, where they're headed for Survivor Series.
Yeah. I thought so, too. Matt Michaels, any take on Raw? Did you find it entertaining or just whatever?
Yeah, it was fine. It was fine.
Yeah.
No issues, no problems.
Yeah.
Same with SmackDown. It was fine. No issues, no problems.
Yeah.
You know?
Did you find any issues or any problems with any other show? How about AEW this week?
Well, it was good. Was good. I think,
I mean, that was surprise seeing Luchasaurus, right? I was, you know, it was pretty cool watching him be back.
You mean the guy who was maybe on TV once? And then he got hurt, and then everyone forgot about him, and then was excited he was back. See, that's the whole thing. It's like in the arena, there's an excitement and stuff because those are definitely people who are invested and who know who Luchasaurus is.
Right.
But if you're a casual viewer, and again, things haven't been established enough.
Yeah.
To realize why are these people going nuts for this, you know, okay, he's a big dinosaur guy. Cool. You know, I mean, that's it. But, it was fine. It was, my theory is we've seen Marco's, we know all he can do now.
Right.
So, watching him in a match gets tedious, and I think that's, good to have Luchasaurus back because now Jack and him can actually, start doing a tag team that's going to help solidify the tag team aspect of the show. So,
right.
But I mean, overall, it was good.
Yeah.
The promos were good.
Right.
With Jericho and MJF. It's one of those things where apparently we're going to still see a lot of WCW endings. That seems to be how the shows are going off the air, is just with, just fighting and... Just like, the schmazes.
So. Yeah. Yeah. Well, hey, overall, I agree. It was I didn't see really too much any issues with that. Steve, what was your take on some of the shows this week that you got a chance to watch?
So here's the thing. You want to know really, truly why they're doing this bullshit Lana, Rusev, Bobby Lashley segment and storyline?
Okay.
If you look at WWE's YouTube channel, okay, they put up clips of every segment on the show.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Every segment on the show is under 1 million views 6 days in. So... obviously, it's one of those things that, all these other segments are getting in the thousands of views on YouTube. Yeah. But, oh, wait, here's the Lana claims she is pregnant with Rusev's baby. This motherfucking 5-minute, 9-second video has 2.5 million views on YouTube.
But was it Steve, clarify for me. Is it something that was done exclusively for YouTube, or was it just a clip that was...
Because obviously I'm not watching Raw, but everything that I'm seeing here, it was the same as what appeared in, on TV. So, okay, like, reading a recap was basically... recapping this segment. So it wasn't anything that was like a dark segment or, something held off of TV. This is the same shit that was on TV.
Okay.
So that's got to be the justification for doing this angle, because nothing else on your show is drawing in casual fans like what this is. I mean, it's unbelievable. Less than a million views on every other segment on the show. Even, when your champion of your brand is on the show. it's 2.5 times more than any other segment, which is insane. It's been that way since since they've been doing this thing. The Lana Rusev Bobby Lashley segment has constantly been pulling in these kind of numbers. So that's why I'm saying, like, you know, it doesn't matter if you've got Brock Lesnar in a segment. It doesn't matter what else is on the show. What's drawing on YouTube for them is this bullshit segment every week. So,
but you know what? I think that one of the reasons that it is drawing people, it's because it's an actual story.
Right. You know, it's making people have an emotional attachment to these characters, whether good or bad. And at the end of the day, is that not why we watch wrestling?
Exactly. Exactly. And, you know, I mean, you have in it for the guys who just, you know, like the hot woman or, you know, whatever she is in your eyes type of thing. Mm-hmm. You know, that's kind of maybe even empowering for women, you know. You have Rusev, who a lot of guys feel sorry for, and, you know, been in that position before. And he's very relatable to the women, you know, and they can empathize and feel sorry for him. And then you got Bobby Lashley, who checks all the boxes for Lucky. You know, strong black man.
Very funny. So very funny.
Covers all the categories.
Matt, what was those categories again?
It was Lana covers.
No.
All what, the guys.
No, I'm talking about for Lucky. Yeah. What is it that that draws him to?
Oh, well, it's a large in shape black man without a shirt on. Yeah.
Says the guy with the membership to the bathhouse.
Oh,
I will tell you.
Go ahead.
I will tell you one thing that I'm impressed with that is still consistent with their TV programming is NWA Power.
Okay.
This week, I make it a point to watch their show. Comes on every Tuesday on YouTube at like 3:06. And they deliver some very interesting TV. Mm-hmm. And even though it's only an hour, I think it really lends to great characters and great storytelling. And this week you got to see a new tag team, or last week they really formed the tag team, but they're starting to get some bite this week, which is Marty Bell and Thunder Rosa. A lot of people came away with that promo that they cut as being something that was like lightning in a bottle, because you had Marty Bell translating for Thunder Rosa and her going back and forth in Spanish and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
And then the characters that they have all challenging for the title. So that show definitely brings it every week.
Okay.
Yeah, I agree. Okay. Yeah. And NWA mm-hmm. has been amazing. Also, can I just say how great it is to see AEW building the hell out of Scorpio Sky?
Oh yeah,
mm-hmm. It's really refreshing. I mean, they're taking a guy and textbook. That is how you build a guy. They're giving him all of the decisive victories, and just picked up a win over their world champion. Chris Jericho's first match that he's lost on the AEW brand, his shoulders get pinned to the mat by Scorpio Sky.
Mm-hmm. Right, yeah.
So,
well, it doesn't matter that it's his first loss on the brand. I mean, it's just going to be a little number after a dash. It doesn't say lost to you, Scorpio Sky, in his first ever match.
I will tell you elsewhere too on TV. I thought that SmackDown was actually really good this week.
Yeah, it was good. Yeah,
Yeah, with a couple of different things with the Daniel Bryan stuff, also with the Undisputed Era, you know, breaking up and beating down, you know, New Day and so forth. I also thought the women's, you know, invasion was done very nicely as well, too.
A huge thing that cracks me up with these invasions, and that is, so you had the woman
Tessa Blanchard.
No,
I'm just teasing.
No, not Tessa.
Rhea Ripley, Shayna.
No, Shayna. She came in and did that interference, right? And she's in her street clothes. And then the four teammates who are in the audience area are all dressed in their gear. It's like, why would you be walking around in your gear, man? Put them in fucking normal clothes.
Right, that is
pro
true.
Wrestling Logic 101. Whenever you're in an arena, no matter what brand it is, always bring your gear.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, no, I totally agree with that. But you know what? It didn't really stand out to me, much like it did to you. To me, I didn't notice it. But yeah, now in hindsight, looking back at it, I can definitely agree that they should have had on street clothes.
Yeah, and they're not the first, and they're not the last who are gonna, you know, come to the rescue in their gear. And you know, and then that's the other thing too. Wouldn't anyone have like seen them and like spread word? Oh, hey, by the way, Rhea and the rest of the team's here, and they're dressed to fight. You know, it's like
right.
Come on.
Speaking of Rhea Ripley, honestly, I'd say out of everybody in this NXT invasion, she is the MVP. Her stock has risen so much just since the launch of this invasion that, you know, I would go out on a limb and say that she's probably the person that's gained the most from this invasion.
Oh, yeah. Go ahead, Lucky.
I would challenge you on that one. I'd go Adam Cole. Because if you are a casual fan, you didn't know necessarily who he was, but he's had matches against Daniel Bryan, matches against Seth. So I think if anybody, and don't get me wrong, I think Rhea Ripley's stock has definitely risen as well, but I would say definitely Adam Cole benefited so far to me the most.
Yeah, of course, Lucky's going to choose the guy who already is the champion of the brand, but that's all right.
I didn't want to say it, but yeah, I agree.
And I'm just pointing out
the facts.
I'm going to agree with Steve here. I'm going to go out with Steve on a yim.
Wow.
Because I think she is the one who is benefiting a little bit here as a little Mia Yim.
Yeah. Let me ask you this. Was there something, I heard there was a bunch of joking around on Twitter or something of the idea of Bray magically turning the championship belt over to Blue. Was there really some joke about that that I didn't get?
Well, did you watch SmackDown?
Yeah.
No, I did. And I saw him magically like do that, but apparently there was some jokes about the idea of it being a blue title. That's what I was saying.
It looks infinitely better on the blue belt.
It looks what?
Yeah, what enlighten us. Because yeah. I didn't hear what the jokes were.
Well, I don't know. I was asking. It was a point of a question. I don't know either.
Where'd you get this information from, DJ?
Hey. You get
Skeeter.com.
Skeeter.
316news.com. Lords of pain.
Whatever. Y'all leave me alone.
We all know it didn't come from Raja.com.
Hey, shout out to Raja for at least about 15 years of having great rumors. And a lot of times the stuff pays off, so.
Yeah. Wait, you know what?
I still want to know where these jokes came from.
Wait, hold on.
The ones that you heard.
What do you guys, let me ask you while Impact's looking up his source. What do you guys think about Dominik Dijakovic?
Well, I think it's hard for you to say his name.
Well, without question, that's part of my issue. But what do you think about him as a star?
I think he's got a lot of upside. And he's just, you know, the matches that he's had with Keith Lee have been really great. So... now it's just, does his personality get him to the next level?
Steve,
I've been a fan of Donovan Dijakovic for a while. I had the privilege of seeing him on the indies for a couple of years. Immediately, the talent was something that stood out to me. So, I mean, you're not going to find a guy that's his size that can do all that he can in the ring. Yeah. Ultimately, what is going to be the real deciding factor for him and his career is, as was mentioned, his character. How can fans develop an emotional attachment to his character? If they can, then he'll do well. If they can't, then he won't.
Gotcha. Yeah, the jury's still out for me, but you know, I'm still early on in being introduced to him, so we'll see. The other thing I had a question about is, do you guys think that Baron Corbin has stepped his game up a notch, or do you still view him as the pizza parlor attendant with the vest?
For starters, I'm a Corbin fan.
I'm a Corbin fan too, but I'm just wondering if these two guys, Sin City Steve and Matt Michaels, are getting more invested or seeing any growth in what he's doing now.
Well, without a doubt. Without a doubt, I think that Corbin's stock has gone up for sure. Don't get me started on bringing out the Roman Reigns dog.
Yeah,
the dude in the fucking stuffed outfit. I thought legitimately that it was freaking Wildcat Willie from WCW circa 1994. Like, dude.
That was pretty bad.
100% courtesy of Jim Valley, by the way, friend of the show, Jim Valley. Yeah, dude, seriously, like, what the fuck?
Yeah, I didn't agree with that part. I mean, I think he had been doing well and kind of on an upward trajectory. And I even thought the Roman Reigns Titantron, if you will, the vignette clip that plays with the dog barking was pretty funny. But the rest of it, you know, was kind of a little bit laughable.
It's supposed to be laughable.
Michaels, I know that you always have to have the, you know, the difference of opinion, but it was trash.
Oh, come on. Have some fun, people.
Have some fun.
Oh, my God. That was just, it was a stupid, goofy spoof. You know?
Yeah.
And then... And the thing is that, listen, guy's still not a great promo. But what they're doing with him is they're finally embracing the fact that he is this just despicable character that he doesn't have to do much to get heat. He just has to come out.
You're right.
So to me, he's doing his job. And elevates him a little bit.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Well, yes. I think go ahead.
No, go ahead.
So are we going to run down Survivor Series predictions, or are we still going to...
No, we're done. We did that last week.
All right. There you go.
We're already close to an hour and a half in. But I will tell you this. So what I was talking about, it was just that this is more visual than anything, but it apparently there was just a lot of fans that was poking fun of the new belt because it was blue. So it's all visual, though. I'm seeing it now. It's just, you know, it's just a bunch of memes and things they created on Twitter that they just thought it was funny.
The shit looks 20,000 times better on a blue belt than a red belt, in my opinion.
Yeah, that's true. I agree with that one.
It does look like a good change for that belt. But before we go,
all right,
we haven't talked about the moment that broke the internet on Tuesday.
Okay,
and that is one CM Punk.
Yeah, who is he going to wrestle?
I think we should get everybody. I think we should get everybody's thoughts about it. I'll start it off because I know it's going to get picked apart. For me, I think it's great for the business that he is back under the WWE banner, even though it is not a WWE, and he's not a WWE employee, he's a Fox employee. But I think it at least opens the door for a conversation, and you've already seen several superstars calling him out. And so it'll be interesting to hear what his thoughts are on the product and then where this goes from here. So,
well, hey, it's always great to see Punk when you get the opportunity to see him. And so, you know, I'm sure that this new venture is going to be exciting for him. I don't know if it's going to be enough to get him to get back into the ring, although I know that
if he gets back in the ring, he's not doing it for the WWE. He's a Fox employee, so he's going to be wrestling Brodus Clay. Period.
Jesus.
Yeah. I guess that would be the case, but I don't know. Did any of you guys just want to talk about it, or you're good?
Yeah,
with it?
Mm-hmm. I think it's a great get for Fox, because as was already stipulated, he is not a WWE employee. I feel that he went out of his way to make that entirely clear in the YouTube video. In case you guys haven't seen it, they had a camera crew, like, you know, one person walking around with a cell phone camera, with CM Punk backstage, before backstage, mm-hmm. and even, you know, after the show was over. But he made it pretty clear in there that he is not a WWE employee and that he is a Fox employee. So, you know, obviously, yes, it does open the door, especially compared to where we were 3 years ago. But no, I think that if anything materializes with it, it'll be a huge win for the business. Yeah, it's great to have Punk back. Punk was my favorite wrestler for numerous years, mm-hmm. but it's good to have him back in the fold, man. And we'll see what happens. Of note, the show, WWE Backstage, got a whopping 50,000 viewers. So that's kind of the ceil- or the floor, excuse me. So that's the floor as far as the ratings go. We're going to see how high CM Punk spikes this rating, and I can guarantee you that it's going to be almost 100% of the people tuning in for Punk. Yeah. Not talking shit about the WWE product, but that's the hook, is CM Punk.
Without question. If you had to put a number on it, if they garnered 50,000 fans, where do you think next week's episode lands?
Realistically speaking, I mean, with as big of a deal as they've made of this, and with all the press that's gotten picked up and all that kind of thing, it's one of those things that, you know, I keep going back to YouTube, but the you know, it's really telling, because that's going to be your audience that you're trying to pull. So CM Punk makes his surprise debut on WWE Backstage. The the video itself that details the 1 minute, 16 second last segment of that show, 4.1 million views. Now, mind you, tie that back to what we talked about with Raw, mm-hmm. where the highest segment there was 2.5 million. This segment has drawn 4.1 million views, and it's been up for two less days on the internet. So that tells me right there that WWE Backstage, if they don't quadruple their rating, it's going to be really telling. But I could see them getting 200,000 on the next episode at minimum.
I'm going to go 500.
You think so?
I'm going to go 500,000.
Okay.
Wow. I mean, now, subsequent viewers after the fact, it'll be definitely up more, but I think their initial posting will be 500,000 views. Michael's.
That's pretty telling.
What was the number that they had last week?
50K.
Okay. I'll go 50K and two. And those two are Steve and Lucky.
Oh my God.
Wow.
So I think they'll gain. I know. In fact, I'm pretty comfortable. They gained two viewers.
You know what? You did like a Price is Right game show type of thing. You know, you just add two more on top of the 50. I love that.
Yeah. Well, let me ask you this before we go: does CM Punk show up anywhere near Survivor Series?
No.
Shut up.
Yeah, come on.
All right.
He's not there a fucking go. WWE employee.
He'd be more likely to be at a fucking Bears game on that weekend, you know, Fox camera showing him at a game or something.
King Lucky, you being a smark again. You can't do that right now.
You know what? I'd love to be a smark. I still enjoy the business.
Hey, speaking of being a smark, what happened at FSW?
FSW, incredible show. If you guys have not had a chance to get out to FSW, I will tell you that now they are streaming live for every show on Twitch. And it is an incredible show. This past show saw a lot of great action. I'm going to just break it down real quick. You had Shogun Jones, who's coming up on the show on Monday, he won the 30-man Battle Royal to earn his spot at a future championship match. Elsewhere, you also had a great First Blood match, which tore the house down between Greg Romero and Kyle Hawk. That match was just insane. You had the women's match, which was Maserati versus Lacey Ryan. Both women put it all out there, but Lacey retained. The ladder match, triple threat ladder match, was holy fuck, because you had friends of the show, Damian Drake, and God, I hope he's okay. He was stretchered out of the arena there, and look what it looked like, a very scary scene at the end of it. Michaels, I know you had reached out to his family, and what did you get back from?
Well, so he's not dead. That's the first thing. He's not paralyzed, which is good. He'll be able to, you know, move and walk. He's just, you know, it's a really bad situation. I think that for someone who has typically been in good health, he's definitely being tested with this. You know, this is it's definitely not a good situation to be in. I don't know how quick he's going to be able to bounce back. I mean, you know, like you slip and fall and you fall on your back. You know, sometimes that can take you months, years to recover from. And yeah, here you get thrown off a ladder through a table. It's crazy, man.
Yeah, watching it live, I mean, the EMTs came in and it was definitely, you know, a scary part of the show. I mean, so we wish him a speedy recovery. You guys send your thoughts and prayers to Damian Drake's way. You know, it was a tough thing to watch.
Yeah, because, you know, and the fact of the matter is that, you know, no matter what you think about wrestling and wrestlers and whatnot, the fact of the matter is that this shit's real, you know, and when you have moments like this, and you just got a feel for, you know, his fiance was in the crowd and had to watch this. And,
yeah.
You know, his parents, you know, having to see this, and it's on the internet. I know that, you know, Remy is just seeming to, you know, bask in his championship win, which is, you know, good for him. But if your guy got a human being here, and you know, he's posting the clip of him, you know, throwing him off this. Oh man, it's just, you know, and the thing plays over and over on Facebook. You know, if you're scrolling, you know, it's a quick clip, so it just keeps going over and over. It's just like, man, you know, when you get better and you're able to hop on social media and stuff, and then first thing you're going to see is you getting thrown through this table again, over and over. And yeah, man.
Yeah. Well, good. We wish Damian Drake all the best, you know, in his recovery. I will tell you just really quickly, also the match between Hammerstone, Douglas James. I mean, Douglas James looks to steal the show every time out. And, you know, Hammerstone, geez, that guy is a despicable heel. During the...
he's fucking awesome is what he is.
Yeah, no, without question. MLW's got gold and FSW, every time he comes there, he just delivers. The shocker, however, in the main event was Chris Bay. You know, there was some interference there, but Chris Bay lost to Graves. He lost his title. So it'll be interesting to see what happens next. They've got their next show, FSW High Octane, coming up next Friday, which is the 30th. So definitely check them out on Twitch and follow us on our social medias. We'll be posting latest updates with FSW.
Chris Bay loses the belt and gets his passport all at the same time.
Things that make you go...
Yeah, maybe the shocker was only for you, Lucky.
Yeah. Dude,
Graves is an animal. He's a beast.
Dude, without question.
He's an absolute monster.
Well, not
that,
only...
that entire group is just unbelievable. And the finally, FSW... is going to genuinely feel the wrath of that of their faction.
Oh, without question. Not only that, but I will tell you that during the triple threat ladder match, the second rope completely snapped off of the ring post. So in the main event, you had Chris Bay versus Graves with no second rope. And there were a couple of times in there, there was a spot where Graves... got thrown into the ring post, and I thought for a minute he was gonna maybe knock himself out because he almost hit the metal ring post. But it was a hell of a match. They made the best of it with the ring post, or with the second rope snapping out of there. And wow, Again, catch it right now. It's on Twitch, Future Stars of Wrestling, and you can watch the whole show back. You will do yourself a real treat by watching it.
All right. Guys, we said a lot. We're going into close to an hour and 40 minutes here. Don't forget, Shogun Jones will be also available for you to download. And he was the winner again of the Battle Royal. That's correct, King Lucky?
That's right.
That's right. Shogun, all right. Yeah, so listen to that interview as well. Also, a reminder, on Tuesday, again, Boulder Station, we will be there with Stephen Bonner, 6 p.m. around that time. It would be inside at the Kicks Lounge. So 21 and over, please come to hang out, listen to the interview. Then after that, get a picture here and there, autograph, and all those good things. With that, fellas, any last words for anyone, or that is it?
That's it.
That's it. All right.
AEW won the Wednesday Night Wars again.
Oh, by 100,000? Was it 150,000? 200,000? Whoop-dee-doo. There's still under a million. Come on.
Nah.
Hey, I know that there are certain people that listen to this show that get pretty pissed off about the ratings, and clearly people on this panel that get pretty pissed off about the ratings too. So yeah. I had to poke a little bit, and now I know where some pressure points are. So I'll definitely be sure to troll you next week too, Michaels.
Well, there you guys.
Just swallow.
With that, y'all, we'll check in with you next time. Thanks for listening. Peace.